John chapter 6 and verse 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Now, obviously, Jesus is not talking about eating his physical flesh and drinking his physical blood. Physical food is only good for the body as long as it's in the body, right? Jesus is talking about something eternal here. Like always, he's talking spiritually, using word pictures to drive home a point. And his point's very clear. Unless you spiritually eat his flesh and drink his blood, you're lifeless. No matter how religious you deem yourself to be. Now, even though he's speaking spiritually here, what does he mean by that? It is kind of strange talk. I mean, they were really taken back by that comment in the context. It's an eating and a drinking by faith in the flesh and blood of the Son of God. A flesh, as we'd mentioned, a flesh that bore our sins in his body on the tree. A blood that cleanses us from every sin, removing all guilt and providing a righteousness that you and I could never obtain ourselves. Jesus makes plain here, if our hope is in anything outside of his flesh and his blood alone, there's no life to be had. Without it, he tells him, you have no life. No life in you. But to the one who feeds by faith on my flesh and drinks my blood, that one has eternal life. Verse 55, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." I mean, these are words to live on. I mean, these are golden, precious realities for lost and saved alike. I mean, take hold of these. Take them in. Be transformed by. This is the answer to man's greatest need. This is the answer to any need. Christ being true food and true drink. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what's going on when you drove up to 311 this morning, but I mean, are you going through trials? No doubt, in a congregation this big, a number of you are going through trials. Have you become cold and indifferent to God? Has your heart gone astray? Are you struggling hard with sin? Do you stand in need of something? Is there conflicts that are troubling your life? Besetting sins harassing you, unbelief whispering in your ear, discontentment rising from within? Are you discouraged? Hear Jesus' words. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Oh, Christian, feast on that. Feast on him. Take him in all his beauty and all his provision and all his sin-bearing love for your soul. Set your eyes afresh upon. There's life. We hear it. The psalm. There's life for a look at the Savior. Oh, life abundant and free. Jesus says that he came that you might not. I stated it earlier. Not just that you'd have life, but you have it abundantly. Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is a gold mine for all that can be considered good in your life. Gold to be had, gold to be discovered, gold to enrich your never-dying soul. But guess what? You got to dig. You got to get digging. You got to apply verses 55 and 56 here. You got to actually consume the true food, and you got to actually drink the true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. True food. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That's true food. That's how Jesus would have us consider him. And let's just ask ourselves why. Why? Why food of all things? What do we do with food? Well, we pop it in our mouth. Yeah, we pop it in our mouth and we take it in. We chew it up. We break it down. We swallow it. And here it is, right? We swallow it. And what happens when it gets in our stomach? It breaks down further, right? It breaks down further, and then as it gets further broke down, it eventually starts going into our body. It actually becomes part of our body, doesn't it? Our food becomes one with us. That's exactly what Jesus is communicating here in verses 55 and 56. In many other passages in John in the New Testament, it is in the eating of his flesh, musing on his person, taking him in, breaking down his truth and swallowing it and making it one with you. Drinking his blood, meditating on his cross, the humiliation of his incarnation, the wonder of his person. It's in the process of these activities of mind that we begin to add health and comfort and strength and joy to our inner man. And if we skip a meal of true food and true drink, all those areas I just mentioned are going to be weakened and unstable. See, but we don't want to miss the parallel between spiritual food and physical food. There is a parallel there. Brethren, you should sooner skip your breakfast, lunch, or dinner than a meal with a Savior. You should. Are we hungering and thirsting for that? Are we conscientious about making sure those meals get eaten? What does Jesus say will happen to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? They might get a glimpse of me. Something might happen. They shall be what? Satisfied. Yes. That's a promise. The true food brings satisfaction. True food fills the soul. And there seems to be a lot of professing Christians depressed, lonely, unsatisfied, filled with anxiety, not filled with heavenly bread, trying to fill the void with earthly pleasures or religiosity, trying to live some kind of form of religion yet deny its power. It's all just a hopeless venture. I mean, it's all a cheap substitute for the true food, filled with all kinds of poisonous preservatives that keep you from the real hunger that finds its fulfillment in the bread of life. Jesus says, labor not for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. The true food, the bread of life. Without this diet, Jesus says, you have no life in you.
This excerpt is taken from the full sermon, Unless, Six Unshakable Requirements of Jesus. This is preached by Craig Musselman, one of the pastors of Grace Community Church of San Antonio, Texas.